That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Back around the zinc.
About around the zinc. It's more rotted out than it was last time you were here.
A little bit.
Perpetually rotting.
What has happened?
Oh, nothing. It's just soaking up that ocean air and rotting.
Salty ocean air.
Yep.
I think, by the way, the last time I was around the zinc was we had Jamie Brissick.
We sure did have Jamie Brissick. What's Jamie Brissick up to these days? I see on Instagram it seems like he's off gallivanting.
I think he's living his best life.
He really is living his best life. He is laugh loving all over the world. He's gather. Which is your favorite of the white women signs? White mom signs?
That's a classic. Live, laugh, love is probably the classic.
What about gather in the kitchen, though?
Yeah, I haven't seen that as frequently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Would you put a gather sign in your own kitchen?
Heck no.
What is the most feminine, I hate to be
sexist
here, but what is the most feminine and or gay sign you have or thing you have in your home?
Oh, man.
Because you're a single man, right?
So, yeah, but there's remnants of ex-wife.
So what, like a potpourri?
There's a Oprah Winfrey, like Ela would love this, the coffee table book, like when she finished her run on her daytime show. I think they put out like a coffee table book, 20 years of Oprah or something like that.
See, 20 years of Oprah still on your coffee table?
I have that in my bookshelf, yes.
Oh, it's totally awesome.
Collecting dust.
That is a total deep cut that I didn't expect to get. That's really good.
Yeah, it's come up in conversation occasionally, like as I've had dates over in the last 5 years, they'll be sitting on the sofa, we'll be having a cocktail, and they'll just be surveying the books, and they're like, huh?
20 years of Oprah.
You're into Oprah? Man. It turns out I am into Oprah.
I mean, but that's totally great, and I'm sure it's valuable in the moment, right?
Could be.
I mean, there's no way somebody's like, ugh. Nobody sees a book of Oprah. No woman sees a book of Oprah and says, ugh.
True.
Like,
makes me look woke.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You're either woke, you're sensitive, you're one of many good things for your Oprah book. I'm going to get a book of Oprah.
Christmas will roll around it, and I'll keep that in mind. I'll make myself a note now.
Yeah, sweet.
So speaking of Brissick, though, I feel like we owe listeners an update on Westerly, the film.
Yes.
Not that we have one, but we can at least discuss it, because I feel like we've discussed it off air. Obviously, Brissick wrote the book. Was it Becoming Westerly? Was that the title?
I think that, yeah.
I only ask because the title of the book and the film are different, but I think the book was Becoming Westerly, and he's been working on a documentary for years.
Years.
About Peter Druin transitioning into Westerly Wendina, and then the big reveal is the book ends with him getting the surgery.
Yep.
And the film ends with Peter actually going, Westerly transitioning back to Peter. That's been the development since, but the film, I feel like it was locked off 2 years ago and they were in post-production and now we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Any insights?
Do you have any insights?
Only what we've discussed
with
amongst
him.
Ourselves. I don't even remember discussing it with him. It was like us and Kevin and maybe Warshaw.
That's true. I think there has been a development since then. I think the release is imminent at this point of the film.
What's held it back?
Maybe the story.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like maybe that it was still developing and I was even confused about Westerly. She didn't reverse the surgery, right?
No.
She just presents as a man.
She's living as Peter right now, but with feminine genitalia surgically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surgically, whatever.
Yeah.
Adjusted to a feminine, genitalia, but living visually as Peter Druin.
Ain't it crazy? It's a mad, mad, mad world, David Lee Scales.
It is a mad world. Yeah, it's a hard story to follow.
It is. It's really hard. I mean, and which may be part, I mean, I have no idea, but that maybe that was part of why, if it was like this celebration of, you'd think, I always thought, oh man, Jamie Brissick is hitting this story out of the park in the moment that,
I know,
you know, genderqueer, whatever, rights stuff is becoming like mainstream, like, you know, headline news. And then I was always equally confused about how is this not like the biggest bestseller and or like just such a hit movie. But maybe it is because that Peter is less of a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
Then it's not, I mean, yeah, from what I understand, it's not like he's just really a complicated guy, I think, or girl or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's,
I think
that
you're exactly
or
right.
He's that likable, to be honest.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know that that community wants Peter/Westerly to be the spokesperson. And so I think this is all conjecture. We, again, not from Jamie himself, but kind of what I've read between the lines was exactly that, is like, well, as filmmakers, we have a responsibility and we're ultimately going to take some of the blame for how this is presented. And if Peter isn't a great representation, then we are going to look like we're just sensationalizing this story or whatever. I say, damn the optics, and it's a compelling story.
Sure.
And just publish.
I mean, yeah.
That's,
I mean,
kind of my thought.
Which on I think, it, and I think it is coming out, but it's like, I mean, son of a gun. It's hard, especially when you have communities who are up in arms about something. Not that the whatever LGBTQ community is up in arms about the film, but like, I mean, when I was thinking of it initially, I thought, oh, home run, right? This is a trending
totally.
Issue at a, you know, and it's an interesting story. But then when you look at the minefield that Jamie has to tiptoe across, like, I mean, mines everywhere in telling that story.
I know. I think about people get canceled nowadays. You know, if you're a professor, you got to really watch what you say publicly or post on social media or something like that. But I wonder, can you even cancel Jamie?
I mean, I'm sure somebody would try to cancel Jamie, right? I'm sure
to what end, though? Like, what could you really do to Jamie?
Oh, I mean,
he makes his living as a writer.
Yeah.
He can still write. I mean, I guess people wouldn't pay him to publish, in theory.
I mean, I guess,
I feel like there's enough outlets to where he still could make a living.
Well, when you think, if you got canceled, that would be, if it was enough to get heat and people actually, you know, really, like, your cancellation. Isn't that such a weird concept of canceling people?
It's going to age really, really poorly.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with it is the people who are doing the canceling are championing causes and like, you need to be more open-minded and inclusive. And yet they are completely excluding the person that they're canceling. They have zero forgiveness and zero grace.
Yeah.
For the person that they're persecuting in that moment, but they're championing on the other end grace and acceptance. Hypocritical.
I didn't understand cancel culture until pretty recently, and it's too bad my video series ended, because the next video was going to be canceling the WSL, which was going to be pretty funny.
Well, that leads into something that I do want to talk about, but I'll enter this conversation through Sonny Garcia update.
Yes.
I'm going to read to you a direct message that I got. It says, I just read that Sonny Garcia's children aren't allowed to update on his condition per a court order. Wow. I hope that you guys can dig into this. It speaks to the surf culture overall. Why are we so secretive? Look how long it took for the truth to come out on Andy Irons. Look at Owen and Tyler Wright. In any other sports or entertainment sectors, we hear so much about the people that we follow, but not in surfing. Is it just about privacy or something deeper? The irony with Andy Irons is that once the truth came out, everyone patted themselves on the back for being open and transparent about AI struggles, while disregarding the lies and how they once intimidated everyone who wanted to talk about the truth. At some point, they will have a documentary on Sonny and his depression and how society needs to be open and not stigmatize mental health issues, while being oblivious to the fact they perpetuate the same stigma. These are public figures. In the world of surf, they are gods. We deserve to know. What are your thoughts? Do we deserve to know?
I think Surf is really... I've been on both sides of this issue, I feel, or championed both sides of this issue before. And I think where I sit now is, Surf, these are public figures, but surfing is also so tiny. So it's like, I mean, it is a small community, really. And that's part of what makes it so great is that it is small, right? It's not basketball or football or baseball or movie stars or whatever, right? Like these... How many people know Sonny Garcia or knew of Sonny Garcia? Maybe maximum a couple hundred thousand, right?
In the world.
In the world. Who's, probably, yeah. When you say the name Sonny Garcia, would have any kind of resonance.
Right.
And so keeping things, I think there is value to treating things in the surf world or the surf community like a family and not putting everything on blast. But then again, also, I mean, to the... commenter's point, like when it gets hypocritical and absurd, I think in the case of Andy in particular, especially after somebody dies, not that the gloves should be off, but come on, let's speak honestly. Sonny's case I think is different because Sonny is not dead, and so it's a whole different mess I think with Sonny as opposed to Andy. So I think if somebody dies, not that it's fair game, but the truth should take priority to family sensitivity, etc. But if somebody's still living, I don't know that this Sonny thing just is a terrible mess.
I'm curious, what do you feel like your responsibility is as a quote journalist in the surf space? You're right, it is small and insular, and therefore we all kind of know one another. It's hard to talk crap about friends, or it's hard to, you don't want to tell dirty gossip or secrets about friends, and yet that would be your best currency as the writer.
Sure.
If you had that information.
And I will, this Sonny story in particular, I mean, also you, like, to me the story is what dictates how I'll approach it. Like if there's value there and meat there, then I'm all in. It doesn't matter, feelings be damned. I don't care about hopefully don't care about protecting people's feelings, especially in the surf world, even though I just got done saying we should treat things gingerly. I don't know why I said that. A weird thing to say, because I don't believe that. In this Sonny case,
though, this thing is so ugly.
This Sonny case, I just don't think there's a story. The problem is we know every beat of the story. It's an attempted failed suicide, allegedly, right?
Allegedly.
Woke up in the hospital, but is more or less probably a vegetable and without any real hope, you know, frankly, of recovering in any meaningful way, right? And so that's the story. On Beach Grit's comments, people were talking about HIPAA and all that. Like, the reason there's a court order, somebody said, and I don't know how, I can't remember, it was Otto's been there, one of the classics, said something about the family doesn't have legal rights. Since Sonny's still alive, the family can't share his medical history without his approval, but he clearly can't give approval, and or the guardian, Sonny has a guardian who's not his kids or something, right? So it's this legal mess over the medical access, to me, is not very interesting. It would be interesting, I suppose, if Sonny had fully recovered or had recovered meaningfully enough to live some, you know, to be doing stuff. But I mean, he hasn't, right?
Yeah.
And I think from medical professionals who have weighed in or that I've talked to, the prognosis once you're in a coma that long, or once you have oxygen or lack of oxygen to your brain that long, you know, the it's a very bleak prognosis.
Yeah. I'm curious about the legality that they're talking about. Yeah, it was very curious that the kids in that Instagram post stated that they're legally not allowed to discuss.
So there must be a fight between, like, a family fight over guardianship, and or the guardian is closing down, you know, whatever Sonny's kids are doing,
and discussing his condition somehow.
I have
is a breach of,
apparently. I mean,
interesting.
But again, to me, you know, it's a bummer. But that one is just such an ugly mess. It's really an ugly mess.
Oh, it feels so ugly. But, okay, so what I wanted to bring it back to is it is worth discussing these things publicly and writing about them and reporting on them if you can sidestep potential future problems.
Sure.
So, yes, mental health should be an open discussion, and we should know about depression. We should understand what Sonny was struggling with. With Andy Irons, whether it was drug usage, like, those are things that we should absolutely put on the table to destigmatize them.
Completely. And I think of what when Sonny first allegedly committed, you know, attempted his suicide, I think the depression issue and all that really did get dealt with. I mean, I think even Kelly and everybody weighed in on, you know, just depression and, you know, whatever. I think it, but I don't know how you, I mean, I guess you can keep bringing it up. But I mean, I felt that it really did get dealt with, right?
So what about Andy? Like, Andy on tour using drugs, using illicit drugs, and also, by the way, a lot of that stuff being supplied by handlers who work in the industry. So there's this, you know, I don't know what, of secrecy that travels with him that everybody's kind of in the know about, but nobody discusses. That's problematic. That allowed it to get to the point that it got to. Like, it could have been discussed for 5 years prior to, you know, it ultimately ending in a death.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's with anything, right? If something's allowed to be in a dark room, then it can metastasize and get weird, where sunlight is the best, you know, is a what is it? Astringent? Is that the right word?
I'm not sure. That's a great word, though.
It's astringent. I think that's what it is. But yeah, like, it, sunlight is cleansing, right? And so it may be difficult. Like, if the entire world knew about Andy's struggle with addiction, then the entire world would have been, you know, or surf world, like, would have been, I think, I don't see a downside to people being open and honest about the problems, even when it stings.
Well, those, the way that those stories are told outside of the surf world is through journalism.
Yeah.
I hate to put the onus on you.
Journalism.
But your Instagram handle is Surf Journalist.
That's what I am. I'm a surf journalist.
So we need you to uncover some of these gritty truths.
This is funny. Did you see the Economist yesterday did the professionalization of surfing thanks to the Brazilians?
I read your article on it, but I didn't click over to the Economist.
It opens with, you know, 15 years ago after a surf, you'd go have a, or whatever, professionals would go have a beer on the beach, and now they go train and all that, which I was thinking about it, thinking, no, you know, this, I mean, I think Nick Carroll got in the comments and said, surfing is always, there's always the person professionalizing surfing ever since.
He rattles off 10 names.
Exactly.
In chronological order.
Completely. But this epoch, I think, of training and all this kind of stuff, I think there's less gritty stories to be told, or less interesting stories in the margins, I'll say.
Mm.
Like, I think surfing, don't you think?
No.
I mean, what, tell me a story that you're interested in right now. I mean, that, like, is not, you feel is not being covered. Like, the World Surf League and the way it's run is, and what their hopes are and all that is interesting, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to hammer that. The wave pool thing and the greenwashing is interesting, trying to hammer that. But in terms of, like, kind of a personal gritty story, is there anything out there that you think is not being dealt with due to, I mean, I have one, but
that you can discuss?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the only one that I can think of.
Yeah. I think there are endless stories to answer your question. Like, Gabriel Medina as an example, like, he would be a fascinating guy
completely
to spend 2 weeks with on the road writing that long form piece.
Derek is desperate to do it. Derek is trying real hard to push it through.
I'd be shocked if Gabriel gave access to anybody, but, like, I want to know about his family dynamics. That relationship with his dad, you know, or his stepfather, Charlie, is so bizarre to me. Like, the lack of separation between your personal life and your professional life and commingling those things, I think can't end well. Almost inevitably can't end well. They're going to poison one another. And why would you jeopardize your personal relationships in pursuit of your professional relationships? You know, just keep those things separate. Go Chloe Andino style.
Yeah.
You know, and not that Chloe's won the world title. So there's that. But I mean, there's so much there that's fascinating.
I hear
to
you.
Me.
I hear you
and
on that.
And I think Gabriel Medina is going to be the example, the John Jones of, like, only John Jones can beat John Jones, basically. He's going to just do a bunch of blow and hookers and end up getting, you know, fined by the athletic Nevada Athletic Gaming Commission and not be able to fight for 3 years in the heat of his prime, you know, or in his prime. So Gabriel Medina is going to do that same thing to Gabriel Medina. And I think he kind of does it every off season because he always comes back at the beginning of the season, not strong, losing events.
Do you think he's going to lose coming out of the gate this season? Or do you think,
yeah.
Do you think last year's devastating loss to Italo, do you think he went into the off season thinking, no, I'm on it this off season?
I really haven't been tracking him, but I have a feeling he will not come in hot at the beginning of the season.
To snap. You think?
I don't think
so. No hot snap run for Gabriel Medina.
I don't think so. If you're comparing him to Italo, Italo is surfing Huntington Beach this week in board shorts when the water's 58 degrees.
It's cold out there.
58 degrees. Why was Italo doing that? I have no idea, dude. The guy is
he's a madman.
He's a madman. Yeah. And he's tons of time in the gym off season. Like, he has been focused. I remember him posting Instagrams the week after, the day after maybe he won the title, like hitting the gym.
Yeah.
You know? So the guy doesn't take time off.
Do you think that that sort of dedication and like the way it's covered with a sheen of fun also, I mean, it also always looks like Italo's enjoying what he's doing.
Yes.
Do you think that's intimidating to a guy like Gabriel Medina? Who?
It's a good question.
You can get in the gym and you could do what Italo's doing, but if you're not having, if you're looking at that guy having fun doing it,
yeah.
I mean, I would be intimidated by it. I think I'm just grinding away here, trying to be the best I can be. This guy's doing exactly what I'm doing and laughing.
I think you're right.
It'd be intimidating.
That's a good point. I think Gabriel, when he has his head down and he's trying his hardest, he still tends to get screwed by judges or just like, especially in the early days, you know, it's like, oh, well, that's air. We don't even know how to score that air. So it ends up getting a 6 instead of an 8 or something. So I think he's been up against that, and that has to be so frustrating. So then for Italo to come through, and what Gabriel doesn't realize is that surfing, just by the pure nature of the way that it is, we're going to gravitate to the guy who's having the most fun.
Sure.
And we're going to allocate more points to him. And trying doggedly to get the score just is less appealing aesthetically.
Oof.
And so Gabriel, kind of where Gabriel has placed all of his focus on, is kind of missing the point. If he executes perfectly, he's still kind of missing the point.
So back to storytelling, though.
Okay.
I totally hear you. Back to storytelling. Yes, Gabriel Medina story, interesting. I think we know Italo's, more or less. Is there anybody else on tour that you think, or anybody off tour, who you think, we're not enough is being told here? I'm not saying that I don't think there's great stories out there, or lots of stories. What I'm wondering is, where is the ball being dropped by surf journalists the world over, besides one example that I can think of?
I mean, honestly, I think of them all the time. Off the top of my head, I'm going to struggle, but one is the Wright family is
yeah.
compelling to me. The Owen, Taylor, I'm sorry, Tyler, Mikey, they've all dealt with injuries that sidelined them in their prime for a year or two or more, and those things weren't very openly discussed.
Completely.
And I feel like there's a lot of smoke and mirrors there.
The Wright family is a major story that's being fully blown by surf journalists.
Yeah.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah. I don't know who else.
Yeah. I mean, I think the funny thing is, not that it's funny at all, but I think with the World Surf League becoming a content media thing or whatever, what's Elo's tag? His good business speak word? It's
I don't know.
Whatever it is, a media company now. I guess, not a sports league, a media company. I think they've kind of walled a lot of those stories off, but then aren't doing anything with them. I mean, you know, theoretically they should be, I don't know why they do Kelly Slater 24. I mean, I know why they do it. They still think Kelly's a marketable name, but it should have been Gabriel Medina 24/7 and all this kind of stuff. Right?
Yeah. So I want to talk about that. This fits in with the wall of positive noise, which is funny that you harp on that. And I think it's a very, very accurate way to sum up their whole agenda. But I watched Kai Lenny's Mic'd Up, or Soundwaves, I think is what they call it. They just released it yesterday. Did you watch it?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know the series, but yeah, I didn't see that one.
So they travel. It's a little documentary. I'd say 15-minute long documentary. They travel with Kai Lenny and Lucas Chianca through Nazare for the Big Wave event that they had 2 weeks ago. And it's minimal editing. The whole style of this series is minimal editing. They call it sound waves because those guys are mic'd and it's just following them. And you're a fly on the wall through this kind of 24, 48-hour period. So Kai Lenny is almost, I don't know, the embodiment of ELO
sure.
in a surfer form. Like, talk about wall of positive noise. Kai Lenny never says a negative word. He never isn't smiling, and it's sickeningly sweet.
Did it look fake?
Yes.
It
completely.
Does?
Completely. That's the point that I'm headed towards. He's laughing with this high pitch, like, Lucas, look at this. You know, and like, it's reminds me of being in high school where people are like trying to put on a front to, it just feels so like a very, very thin veneer.
You don't think that Kai Lenny just is a very thin veneer of positivity, that's honest to goodness, his depth?
Could be.
He's just a happy guy, having fun out there, wakes up, has fun, no dread coming into his door at night. Just
it's a lot less interesting.
For sure.
So his talent is undeniable.
Yeah.
Like, the guy is a freak of nature. And so you go watch what he's doing, but for him to, like, there's no interest there for me almost as the viewer. Like, he needs to have, I want to hear fear.
But that's.
He's like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to ride the biggest wave of my life that anybody's ever ridden. And then he goes out there and does it and chop hops down the face. And then he comes in and he's like laughing, you. Giggling. Oh, I just put in a 6-hour session. Woo, you know,
yeah.
Throwing out yous all the time. And I'm like, oh, is this guy for real? Like, where is the humanity? There's no relatability at all.
Which is back to Andy Irons. I think that's what made Andy Irons
yes,
compelling, right?
Absolutely.
Is because there was depth, even if the depth was, you know, not, I mean, so a person with a dependency problem is not the most interesting story ever told, right? But that
the person struggling is
precisely, and then how Andy grew up, where he grew up, his family, his dynamic with Bruce, the real rage that would come out, you
yeah.
know, on and on and on and on, which is what made, I think, Andy the people's champ, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Kai, I think, could win. Kai could literally go on, I think, and win. I mean, not that he literally could, but figuratively, go on and win the CT, win the Big Wave World Tour, win the Devin Howard's Longboard World Tour, all in the same year. Figuratively, he could do this, right? He's not a good enough.
And a stand-up paddle tour.
And stand-up paddle and a paddle tomorrow. He could win every surf thing in the entire world, and to me, he still would not be interesting. Like,
yeah.
I can completely appreciate what he does physically.
Yeah.
And I mean, the word freak, I hate the word freak, gets thrown around way too much, but Kai Lenny is a proper freak, right?
Totally.
What he does in Big Surf, what he does, just what he does. But beyond what he's doing physically, I don't care what he says. I don't want to know what he's, you know, unless he was saying, you know, crazy things.
Well,
or interesting things.
And he's not.
Yeah, of course.
So,
I would imagine.
Kelly is great because he's articulate. Not only articulate, he's a deep thinker and he's got controversial opinions, you know, that we all kind of take a side about.
And probably autistic too, Kelly. I mean, I think Kelly is so spectrum-y. For sure, Kelly is spectrum. He's either was born spectrum or put himself onto the spectrum just by being a... Kelly's a genuine weirdo. Kelly Slater is a weird human being.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. First of all, I don't think it's okay to call people on the spectrum weird. And secondly,
yeah, they are weird. That's what makes them weird. They're on the spectrum.
Secondly, I don't know. Well, I don't know enough about autism to even diagnose Kelly, but I don't think he doesn't remind me of people that I've known who are
autistic. I mean, I don't think he's like full on fifth grade.
No.
The kid in fifth grade who had autism. I think he is, though. I think Kelly is so bizarre. That's what I'm going to call. I'm going to call people on the spectrum just bizarre. Kelly is
he's
bizarre.
I don't get bizarre. I think he's a freakish talent, to use the word freak again. He's a freakish talent who also is a thinking person, and he's okay sharing those thinking, you know, those thoughts publicly.
Look at Kelly's personal life. Strange. He can't sit still.
Detail him.
I mean, he can't sit still for more than 4 minutes, right? Like, and not in a kinetic kind of Kyle Lenny you kind of way, but he's constantly on the move, constantly doing sort of strange stuff while always constantly also like absorbing and being involved in like really asinine media, like beach grit and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, where just his the way he lives, I think, is very, very atypical.
It's totally atypical.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. The autistic thing would be have value in terms of like to even accomplish that level of anything in life, you have to be some.
Your brain is somehow, but Kyle Lenny apparently isn't. But I guess Kyle Lenny hasn't accomplished what Kelly has accomplished.
So the other thing about Kyle Lenny
is the most interesting thing about him that he likes Taco Bell. Is that why they keep bringing that up?
So is that a paid advertisement?
No, I mean,
it has to be.
I mean, I'm sure he's getting now Taco Bell, whatever, gift cards, but I don't think it was. I think he genuinely liked Taco Bell bean burritos, mentioned it somewhere that was like his secret power.
It was all, or somebody on the jet ski during the Big Wave event. I was watching it live and I was tripping because they're like, you know, for the Big Wave event at Jaws, it's one day. And so you're surfing many heats in that day if you keep advancing. So in between heats, the commentator on the ski asked him, like, hey, how do you keep your energy levels up, you know, in between this? Like, what's your diet like? And Kai's like, dude, to be honest, Taco Bell bean burritos. I live on those things. And I heard it and I thought to myself, wow, that is a weird brand partnership. This is clearly paid because they teed up the question and he delivered it. This is clearly paid. But what a unlikely brand partnership. I can't really. And then I thought, well, what we're going to see is Taco Bell's releasing a new line of product that is organic or something like that. That's what my head did. They went back to the booth and Kaipo was in the booth and he validated it. He goes, yeah, anybody who knows Kyle Lenny knows he'll make you drive through Taco Bell after a surf or before a surf or whatever. So then a few weeks later, Eric Logan or maybe the WSL's Instagram account posted in Santa Monica at HQ, you know, 300 bean burritos that were delivered from Taco Bell. So then I thought, oh, well, this is a bigger brand partnership where it's Taco Bell partnering with the WSL. And what's weird is they're using one of their athletes as kind of the guy. Like, who's getting paid here?
I don't think any of it.
It's crazy.
I think
then
that
why
would
you post all that stuff?
Because it's just, I think they thought it was funny. And then, I mean, they should have. And I'm sure somebody, maybe. But I'm sure Taco Bell's not paying. I mean, maybe they'll put Kai on the team, but why do you even have to pay somebody if that's really what they love? Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I think
talk about it no matter what, probably.
So then I thought it was weird that Kai and Elo are giving away all this free advertising. It actually diminishes their brand to just publish these partnerships without getting paid to do
it. But I think that's the problem, though, is that honestly, as it relates to Kai's personality, that's maybe the most interesting part of his personality. Is that he likes Taco Bell. I mean, what else are you going to do with him?
Okay,
right?
So now I'm having an epiphany. Is it just that he's 24? Are all these questions that I'm having about him just the fact that he's a young, exuberant, vibrant kid who doesn't have another care in the world? That's how you are when you're 24.
Probably. But no, I think it's beyond that. I mean, I think he's a... nothing against Kai, but probably a particularly shallow 24-year-old, right? Who, he's shallow. The things he loves to do are foil and surf big waves. And, you know, everything he loves to do, he can do. He likes to be outside. He's physical. I mean, I bet he doesn't really have a thought in his head beyond, you know, I mean, if you asked him, oh, hey, you know, Kai, what about global warming? Or what about, you know, this, you know, Democratic National Committee stealing the election from Bernie, or if you asked him any kind of question, I bet he would have not even the faintest idea of what you were talking about.
Yeah. So I now take back what I said about a thin veneer. Like when I see people that exuberant and positive,
you think they're faking.
I don't think they're necessarily faking.
They're
like, let's use Ben Gravy as an example, because just to fan the flames of the internet's ire towards us for Ben's posse.
I love that Ben. I've done a 180 on Ben. Ben is now one of my favorite surfers.
Is he?
I've really thought about it. I've thought long and hard about Ben Gravy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we can get into that. But with Ben, it feels like a thin veneer. So like it's sincere. He is absolutely sincerely that positive. But I feel like if you're that positive in life, he's covering up kind of a sadness. There's an underlying depression that you need to overcompensate because you don't want that dark monster to kind of rear its ugly head. You know?
Yeah, but Ben sort of feels that way, right?
Yes, that's my point.
Which gives depth, though. Which, like, you think, this guy's, like, really putting a good face on, right? Yeah. He wakes up every day. He says, you got this, Ben.
Exactly.
He puts on a good face. Kai's not doing that.
Exactly.
Kai's not talking himself into being fun, you know, being exuberant and happy.
Correct.
Kai just pops out of bed, ding, ding. Kai, really, honestly, I haven't watched enough of his stuff, but every time I see him, he basically seems to me, like, in the way he lives, like Pee Wee Herman. Right, you wake up in this fun house, ha, 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 and you're like, yeah, let's go to Kai Foil, and you're just like everything, like nonstop, right? Where his Pee-wee's playhouse is Hawaii. You have, you know,
totally
Cherry. Like, I mean, just the whole nine yards. That's who Kai Lenny is.
That is right? Epic. Who knew you had a Pee-wee impersonation?
Yeah, but isn't it not true?
It's entirely true. He's a child living in a fantasy land with all the talent in the world to execute.
And all the toys.
Getting paid millions of dollars. Just keep the dream. Yeah.
There's nothing.
He can eat Taco Bell and then go still surf Jaws.
Okay, Elo. I've teed up so many damn ideas for Elo. None of them have been made. The best thing we're going to ever do on this show is get the longboard tour to be just the longboard tour, not men's and women's divisions.
Right.
But I don't know how Eric Logan is not going to do a funny 15-minute remake of Kai Lenny as Pee Wee Herman in Hawaii, just running around, you know.
I want to see Kai's playhouse.
Kai's playhouse, and then somebody should steal Kai's foil board, and then Kai has to go on a journey across America to find his beloved foil board.
God, that was such a good movie.
It was so good.
Who's going to play Large Marge?
Large Marge could be, who would be Large Marge? Frankly, Large Marge would be Kelly Slater.
Or Laird.
Or Laird would be a better Laird. Large Marge.
Kai stranded on the side of the road looking for his foil. Laird pulls up in his Land Rover. And he looked like this. When I was a kid, I was so scared by Large Marge, dude. I was horrified.
Really funny.
Large Laird.
That's a really good idea. Oh man, we gotta make this
Lenny's Big Adventure.
If anybody out there listening can draw at all, we can start this thing as a cartoon. Yeah. If anybody's a cartoonist, let's get together, let's storyboard it out, and let's just do a little 15-minute animated episode of Lenny's Big Adventure.
Lenny's Big Adventure, where he encounters Large Laird. This is so good.
That's brilliant.
Okay, so if we've got. Ben Gravy with the thin veneer.
Yeah. Ben Gravy's a thin veneer.
Thin veneer covering up
pain,
an
anguish.
Ocean of sadness. Yeah. And then the guy Lenny over here, that's an ocean of Pee-wee's playhouse.
Yeah.
With no veneer.
Yeah.
Where does Elo land?
Oh, I think Elo's got pain.
Elo's a lot closer to Ben.
Yeah. Oh, way closer to Ben. I mean, Elo may even be on the other side of Ben. Like,
wow.
The wall of positive noise that Elo has erected might be the only thing keeping Elo from, like, putting one foot in front of the other each and every day.
So, as indicated by the colorful jackets, the giant smile, obviously the every word that comes out, and all of the content created.
The rote business, positive business speak.
Charge forward at 100 miles an hour.
Never slow, never stop.
Is all covering up an ocean of
pain.
Suffering.
Existential
pain. Well, now
pain.
I feel sympathetic.
Yeah. I mean, I think Elo is sort of a sympathetic character.
Like, I think so too.
I would love to crack him and just let some of that pain come out for a minute and then patch it up real quick. Help him patch it up. It's okay, Elo.
Are you equipped to do the patching?
No, but
I don't think you are.
We could bring in some serious
professionals.
Help. Yeah, Kai. That's all he needs.
Kai's going to make it worse.
Kai would just spackle right over it with a bean burrito.
That's the problem. Is you can't spackle these problems. You need to go down to the foundation. You need to rebuild from the foundation up. So, what the ocean of sadness comes from? Childhood trauma and struggle, right?
Yeah.
So Kai, growing up on Maui, obviously you're in paradise. He's a great looking kid. He's got all the talent in the world.
Do you think
he never had to suffer?
Do you think Kai, I don't get the impression from Kai exactly like I didn't get the impression from Pee-wee before Pee-wee went into an adult theater and touched himself. It's really hard to picture Kai Lenny with a girlfriend.
Yeah, he's with Dusty Payne's sister.
Oh, really?
He's been with Molly Payne for a long time.
Oh. Yeah. Do they take like cute Instagram photos and stuff together?
I think they're captured in other people's Instagram photos. I don't think they really publish.
Molly Payne.
Yeah.
Molly Payne's a good name.
Yeah.
There's his pain. There's your
face. Wow, dad joke is good. Okay. My point is, he didn't have any childhood struggle. We know enough about Elo, like through his work trajectory. He started out flipping a sign, right? For radio.
So. Yeah.
That's what he told us. So like that, and it was middle America.
The fact that he had to have a suit of armor at some point.
Yes.
He had to put on a suit of armor means
that he was afraid of what?
The world was a scary place.
The suit of armor you're referencing is his wetsuit.
Yep.
That he had fear, a hydrophobia, right?
Yeah.
So all of those things indicate that something happened early on in his life.
Trauma.
You're right.
I mean, he changed his last name.
Right. Changed his last name.
Yeah, Topenberg or whatever his...
Lipschitz?
I thought it was that. I think it's Topenberg or something. Or it might be, Topenberg might be his hyphenated.
Mm.
I mean, that's what I heard. That's what it was. I'm sorry. Lipschitz.
Yeah, Lipschitz. Eric Lipschitz.
Yeah, Eric Lipschitz.
literally his last now, name. Okay, so now here's the other question is, are we allowed to discuss any of this? Is it okay, like journalistic integrity, whatever, is it okay to discuss other people's mental health?
No.
So should we delete this episode?
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's all presumptive on our part. Like, it is all entirely a joke we're making all of it up.
And also, every single person we're talking about has either thrust themselves into the public eye, enjoys it, or is in the public eye. Like,
so that gives us carte blanche. We can discuss whatever's in the public eye.
I mean, I think so, right?
Okay.
If Elo didn't have such a robust Instagram account of him smiling and all that all the time, we wouldn't really know it, right? I mean,
right.
We would have met him and thought, oh, he's positive, but that wouldn't necessarily stick in the memory that long, right? It wouldn't be this sort of daily discussion. He keeps himself in the conversation, like by both Instagram and I feel that he's pretty forward-facing on. We never talked about Sophie Goldschmidt. We never wondered about her mental health. Let's talk about Sophie Goldschmidt's mental health. Is she just broken right now?
No.
After her run through surfing. But
I think Sophie, she's healthy.
Sophie seemed tortured every time I saw her.
Really?
Oh, man. She seemed like she...
Professionally tortured. Though.
She seemed like she was both confused and loathing what she was doing. And maybe loathing, like... taking her loathing in her job and thinking, this is awful. My future is going to be awful. Everything is awful. Where do I go from here?
Mm.
This is life bleak. A bleak, bleak, bleak straight line.
Here's why she's healthy. Is because she lived her private life privately.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about, it's okay to have professional struggles and to fail at a job for a little bit.
That's totally fine.
So I think what you're reading on her was exactly that. It was like, oh, I'm struggling in this job or I don't quite understand the space like I hoped that I would.
Her on stage.
And then compartmentalize it. As soon as she clocked out that day or went home, she has her family life that fully fulfills her.
Yep.
And the reason why I believe that is because you and I never knew anything about it. That's a really healthy way to live your life.
Just to compartmentalize.
Well, to not let work affect everything else in your world. Do you need to take that?
No.
Okay. We could hit pause.
Okay.
Yeah, pause. All right, we're back on.
Mental health.
Okay.
Today's mental health episode brought to you by...
BetterHelp.com, as it turns out. I do have a mental health sponsor. Did you not know that?
No.
This was not the point at all, but... I do have a mental or a BetterHelp.com. It's like a therapy that you can
on our show.
No, on Surf Splendor they sponsor.
You should get them to kick over here.
Well, should we do the ad right now then?
I think so.
I feel like it's so natural.
Yeah.
In complete opposition to Taco Bell and Kai Lenny.
I mean that was natural too.
I'll give you the pitch right now.
Okay.
I'm gonna freestyle it.
Okay.
because I don't have their talking points in front of me. BetterHelp.com/surf.
What do you get when you go in there?
10% off your therapy.
Is it online therapy?
It's online therapy. It's basically you go onto the web, BetterHelp.com/surf, and you fill out a questionnaire, and they have specialists. They have 6,000 licensed therapists. Licensed in the U.S., but you can access them from anywhere in the world, but they're U.S. licensed therapists. Everything from, you know, depression to marital struggles or whatever. These are licensed psychologists, psychiatrists, marriage and family counselors, all that sort of stuff. So you fill out the questionnaire and it pairs you with the right one. And you could do the therapy in whatever form works best for you.
You can call. So
FaceTime, in Skype. Person? You can call. You don't do it in person. You do it all virtually. But... or you could do it through text message. Whatever you agree on is the best for you. So you do it basically on your own terms in the comfort of your own home. And because of those things, it's less expensive.
How much does it cost for a session on BetterHelp.com?
I don't know.
If you haven't done it yet?
Well, they gave me free therapy. Like, I can do it, I think, for 3 months or something. I just haven't done it yet.
What would you tell them?
I'm not going to tell you what I would tell them.
You could tell
it's private.
I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're being surf journalists here. We could talk about Sophie Goldschmidt's problems. We can talk about yours.
Yeah, I'm not ready to. No, that's the point, is we're not talking about Sophie's problems. And I am like Sophie in that I'm not going to discuss my problems because I want to keep a healthy distance. Also, the first rule, the Hippocratic Oath, is do no harm.
Yeah.
I don't believe you will do me no harm.
No, that's really true.
I would be vulnerable, and you are going to use it to hurt me.
I would be the worst therapist ever. Really bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to give ELO therapy. I'm going to be betterhelp.com for ELO.
Do you think we are? I don't know that we're doing any... I think we're making him feel really, really vulnerable and at risk by even discussing his world.
Well, I would like to understand ELO beyond a soundbite. I feel that that's all we got in. Obviously, we're not friends with ELO. ELO would not consider either of us friends, and so why is he going to share with or show any vulnerability to somebody who's not only not a friend, but has been very antagonistic and rude?
So you need to start off trying to be a friend. That's how you
get... I can't. I'm just going to tell... it's too late. That ship has sailed, right? Okay. I've been antagonistic and rude for, like, how many years now? How many years has ELO been on the team?
Two years.
Okay. So I've been really rude. I've said hurtful things fairly nonstop, right?
Yep.
There's no going back and being a friend. But what I am is honest with ELO. So ELO, why can't you be honest with me?
Yep.
I wish ELO would be honest with me.
Yeah. I don't think he has any incentive to.
No.
But if we did hurt his feelings, betterhelp.com/surf. Use promo code SURF when you check out and you'll save 10% off the already reasonably priced therapy. Have you ever done... What's your experience with your own mental health? Have you ever done therapy?
I've only done marital counseling at the end. I guess I did it at the start too, but it was like the cursory kind of 3 sessions. Okay, cool, get married.
Like before you get married before, in the church or whatever, they make you go through.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And then much therapy was set up for the end of my marriage, but I think I attended very few of those sessions.
Was the intention of those sessions to reconcile the marriage or to help dissolve the marriage?
It was to reconcile.
Oh,
I think.
Okay. And you were already, it was already irreconcilable in your mind?
Yeah, I was going to maybe 20% of them.
Got it.
Yeah.
That didn't bode well.
I was not taking my reconciliation seriously.
So have you experienced any benefits from therapy in your life?
I think it's probably great, but I mean, and I'm sure that people around me have experienced benefits that have therefore been transferred onto me, but I personally, myself, have never directly experienced a benefit from therapy. Hmm. But maybe I should. Maybe I should go in to do betterhelp.com/surf and do some therapy.
Maybe I'll give you my 33-month gift.
Because you don't need it? You're healthy?
I don't know, dude. I think I probably do need it. So I've... Not that you ask, but I've done therapy in situational therapy, I'd say 3 or 4 times in my life. Like when I was young... You know, my parents put me in it when they were getting divorced or something, when there was something was going on, just because they thought preventative measure. And I don't really remember that experience very much, but then I did do it as an adult, prior to getting married, just on a personal level for stuff that I was experiencing. And then I did it in my marriage as well, as a couple. And I absolutely benefit from it.
Yeah. Like,
I think number one, it's hard to find the right therapist. So you can go and it, let's say you're not sure whether or not therapy is for you and you get talked into it. And then you go and you have a bad experience. It's really easy to write off therapy as a whole and just be like, no, that doesn't fit for me. Well, it could just be that it was the wrong therapist, and it's hard to find the right therapist. And it's hard to then go pour out all your vulnerabilities multiple times to multiple people trying to find the right fit. But when you find the right fit, the initial benefit is just talking, just sharing and purging, I think is good. A good therapist can then add a bunch of other value to it as well. And you can become introspective and like you start, it puts your life into perspective is
don't,
what it does.
Don't you think though, that there's value just to closing all that stuff up, locking the door and not dealing with it, just toughing it out.
I know
being a man
almost sounds like a joke, but I do see value in that too.
Yeah.
I take that. So I watched the film 1917,
yeah.
The war film. Did you see it?
I haven't yet. I want to.
Okay. So, 18-year-old kids experiencing levels of trauma that are unimaginable.
Yeah.
Right? Death just beyond belief. Then they go home from, this isn't in the film, but presumably you go home from war where you've seen your best friend get shot in the face and you carry dead bodies and whatever. You go home and then get married and have kids. Like, it's insane to think, like, how do you distance yourself from that thing? And the reality is people did.
Yeah.
Our grandparents did.
Yeah.
And the way that they did it was kind of by doing what you're talking about. So I wonder if I was now thrust into a war tomorrow. Let's say we go to war, I get drafted and I'm out there doing it. I'm going to be like, complaining every step of the way that there aren't new linens on my bed at night and
yeah.
that I don't have access to wine with my meal. You know, like I'm going to be such a wimp about it that if when I came home from that experience, what are the odds that I would be able to recover? Slim to none.
Yeah.
Like those guys gritting it out and just ignoring it or compartmentalizing it maybe allowed them to survive. That is actually almost a more evolved human being that can actually separate those things.
I suppose I wonder sometimes with therapy and all that, like we're all so self-obsessed anyway, and nothing against therapy, but it just seems like sometimes just an added layer of self-obsession where what if instead of the therapy, and this is, wow, really gonna, this show's really gone off the rails, but you just went and did something for somebody else, right? Instead of going and talking about yourself, what if you just did? I'm not saying that that's obviously, this is caveats everywhere. Therapy is valuable. I completely believe in it. I completely believe in people talking about the problems. And again, I believe in it so much, I suppose, that I should better get some therapy now.
But you're right. Like,
but
doing what you just said is also very beneficial.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a million different solutions for a million different problems, and therapy has its fit for certain things, you know? And certainly doing good for others probably cures a lot of things. Going outside for a walk in the morning every day and drinking enough water will cure a lot of things as well, which people don't even take those measures, you know? And they're willing to jump into therapy or maybe substance usage, treating it with an actual pharmaceutical drug before they'll even do those most basic things.
Before they even try to treat it with alcohol first.
I was shocked you didn't offer me a drink.
Do you want a drink?
No,
it's funny.
I don't want a drink.
When you were coming over, I never offer water, except for when it's I don't offer you water. Would you like a glass of water, David Lee Scales?
I've got a jug of water.
Okay,
thank you though.
Perfect.
Mine's not the alkaline water that you guys stock though.
The alkaline. Anytime who's the guy, like tax guy or any kind of those people come over, that's always the first, hey, you want a glass of water? Why do we always offer water to so many people? If people are thirsty, won't they just say, I want a glass of water? I mean, I know it's polite, but it's this constant, would you like a glass of water? Like there was a refinance house person here the other day, and I offered her a glass of water. She said, no, thank you. And then I stopped and thought, asked her, how many glasses of water do you get offered a day? And she said, I'll typically do 8 to 10, whatever, refis a day, and so 8 to 10 glasses of water. Like,
she'd be peeing all day long, yeah, if she accepted the glasses of water.
All of these glasses of water.
Why so the reason why we offer it is because that person would maybe feel rude asking.
Can I have a glass of water?
If they enter your house and ask for something.
Have you ever once felt rude asking for a glass of water?
If it's water, no. I wouldn't feel rude about that, but...
That's what I'm saying. So we're offering a thing that it's not like we're offering, hey, would you like an orange juice? Where it'd be weird if she said, hey, I'm thirsty for orange juice without the offer, right? Yeah. We offer the thing that nobody, not right. one person in the world has shame asking for.
Right.
So we should up our game.
This is a good question. Now, is there anything more rude than showing up, let's say, to a dinner party or somebody's house and they don't offer you a cocktail or a drink?
I think that's proper rude, unless that is a sober household.
Correct. But if the whole purpose of the evening is to, like, dine and, you know...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean...
Convene together and they don't offer, that happens to me.
Really?
Yes.
I have no shame in asking for a drink, straight up.
Yeah.
Do you? Or do you just wait and go dry?
No, it depends whose house it is. If it's a close friend, I have no shame.
Yeah.
But, well, I don't know how we pivot off of...
Mental health
and therapy, but we were talking about you promoting Devin Howard or encouraging Devin Howard to incorporate a non-gender longboard tour, and
yes,
we were really thinking that we were ahead of the curve on this.
Just longboarding, yeah. Who else has
bodyboarders?
Oh yeah, that was on Beach Crit.
Yep,
even yeah.
Bodyboarders have been doing it for a long time. Gender neutral contest.
I mean, the progressive. Who knew? Who knew that? Remember those posters or T-shirts you used to be able to get that showed the evolution of man and like
yeah.
one of the
from a Neanderthal.
Yeah, Neanderthal okay. one in the middle would had a bodyboard, and then the most evolved was had a surfboard. That is so not true. That is completely not true.
It's a good joke though. I liked those posters.
It was funny, but the bodyboarder is the most evolved of our species.
And they're also early adopters for a lot of other things. Like yeah. they find the slabby Slabs. Waves. They were surfing yep. Chopu or dragging Chopu.
Well before.
Yeah.
Well before any surfer did it.
Yeah.
No. Bodyboarders. Here's to you.
I got to start a list of all the things that bodyboarders were. They are unsung trailblazers.
Progressives.
As one DMer put it to me. Unsung trailblazers, progressives, and we should come up with a list of all the things that they've done before surfers did them.
The mighty bodyboarder.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah.
Would you ever, if somebody said to you tomorrow, hey, do you want to try bodyboarding? Would you be into it? Here.
I'd go for it.
Like, if they said, hey, try bodyboarding for 3 months. Money back guarantee.
I wouldn't do it for 3 months. I would do it situationally specific. No. So, shore break in Hawaii, I
sure. would do it. But you got a bodyboard out at Huntington Beach.
No.
Okay, you go to the wedge. Fine. You go to the bodyboard waves around Southern California. But you don't surf.
No.
You bodyboard. You wouldn't do it? How would you feel in your heart showing up to the beach with your fins and your boog?
I wouldn't do it. My heart wouldn't allow it.
So much shame?
Dignity.
But why? They're the unsung trailblazers. Progressives.
They can
progressors.
I want them to have that mantle. I don't need it.
You don't want to be that.
I want to benefit from it down the road once the trail blazes over to me, but I don't want to be on it.
Mike Stewart, you're thinking Mike Stewart should feel shame. Legend.
He should not feel... You know what's crazy is we can leapfrog the bodyboard altogether and just body surf. And that's what Mike Stewart is going to be known for. His legacy will be as a body surfer.
I mean, that's all the fine and good.
The most winning body surfing champ at Pipeline.
All fine and good, but... Mike Stewart has no shame rocking up to the beach with that little bug under his arm. I'm going to try it here in Cardiff by the Sea.
Okay.
Where's a bodyboard wave around here? Is there one?
I don't know. This see is your neighborhood.
I know. But I'm trying to think of something that's a little ledgy and slabby.
I wonder if bodyboarders been shamed out of San Diego.
They're really, I mean, there's, I'm thinking about all the waves up and down right here. And I can't think of one that would be very fun for maybe D Street. Bigger, ledgier.
But would you have more fun bodyboarding than body surfing?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Sure.
Body surfing's so fun.
No, you just say that because you're embarrassed of the bodyboard. The bodyboard, you got flotation, you got your got glide down the line. Your bodyboard flows way better than your body.
I disagree.
That's completely science right there. You got a flat, planing surface.
It glides better, but yeah, that's not more fun.
Yeah, but you're going a lot faster. What is the fun part of surfing? Going fast, gliding better. What do you want? Like, if we if we take this over to surfing, what do you, you want a lumpy, heavy, kind of semi-floating surfboard?
No.
That's your body.
Yeah, but I'm standing regally on a surfboard. I'm not laying down.
I'm saying it's only shame that keeps you off the bodyboard, off the book. But I want to... What are the big bodyboard... Is there... I'm sure there's a ton of cool... sure they're not cool. But like bodyboard, indie bodyboard brands. Not clothing brands, but that make bodyboards. There's got to be like handmade, hand-pressed.
No clue.
Zero clue?
Whatever they are, though.
Unsung
in
heroes.
In 10 years from now, surf brands are going to be... Those are going to be surf brands.
I don't know. I'm going to give boogieing a real second look in my middle age.
I want to read all about it.
Yeah.
This will net 32 articles.
Yeah. Sure. Me, my boogie, my transition. I will transition into a boogier.
I'm going to predict the future and say you're going to transition back into a stand-up
surfer.
Well,
the thing is, the real test would be, is it fun? Full stop first. Let's assume it's fun. How much fun is it compared to surfing? Is the question.
Okay.
Right? That would be the question.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm not saying you boogie the same way as you surf because you don't.
Right.
But how much fun is it to surf boogie? A big wedgy closeout, getting barreled, right? Deep in the tube, not worrying about fins, cutting you up, nothing. Not a care in the world deep in that tube. Versus out at your local doing roundhouse cutbacks down the line, right? Because that's the we're talking about not the peak of what's possible. We're talking about our own ability in the thing.
Right.
So I could, you could, we all could get in the deepest closeout tube of our lives on a boog, right? We could do that nonstop.
Yeah.
Cruising.
I don't think it'd be that fun.
You don't think so?
No.
Just like really pedal to the metal in that tube, trying to make it out?
I don't think so. Making it out would be the fun part, but pulling into the closeout tubes, I think, would get pretty tiring.
Well, sure. But let's assume some of them stay open and you can race out.
But that's my point is the reason why surfing is fun is because you're trying to get better at this thing. Like the learning curve is so vast.
That's true.
And there's all this reward built into that. Whereas boogie boarding or bodyboarding, I don't know that it's really the best people doing it are really doing impressive things, but it's not that hard to get good at.
They're getting closeout barrels they're getting.
Exactly. It's hard to get from good to great at, but to get good at isn't that hard. Surfing, it's hard to get good at.
Doing those big flyaway airs that they do and landing on your belly at the bottom of the wave.
Backbreaker, dude.
Oh my goodness. I don't know how or why. I don't even know how they project out of the wave so far, to be honest.
Yeah. Landing in the flats, though, it looks so abrupt.
It looks ouchy.
Definitely ouchy.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out, before we go to break, I'm going to throw out a couple of news stories, and you can ramble about any of them. Coronavirus. Yep. WSL cancels two events due to coronavirus concerns.
Sissies. Big fat babies.
Ralph Lauren does their Deep Blue campaign, incorporating a bunch of surfers into their, they did a commercial, basically. Climate change. What surf spots will disappear? What spots will be revealed? And then yesterday, Mason Ho took down Eli Hanneman at the Air Tahiti Rangiroa Pro 2020 Barrel Fest, which is pretty epic.
Was it live?
Yeah, I watched it live.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yep.
On WSL.com?
Yep.
How does WSL.com...
WorldSurfLeague.com.
Not, maybe that's why. Maybe I'm just going to WSL.com and missing everything. How do they not advertise these things better? I should be aware of I just assume that all those QSs, six stars, unless it's a Volcom Pro or whatever, like one of the Red Bull ones, I assume that they're not live to air.
Yeah, they're live.
So how many of them?
A bunch. All the time.
What?
Yeah.
How do I not know this?
You're right. They should be shoving it in our faces. And that one in particular, because the waves are dreamy.
Yeah.
It's a right-hand reef pass, and it's head high, perfect barrel. It's epic. It's so fun to watch. And the water's crystal clear and shallow, so the drone shots, you could see all of the reef.
What in the world? If they're going to put these on and film them, how is it not equal budget to pushing it out?
I have no clue. And Mason Ho and Eli Hanneman in the final.
It's a great...
superstar final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Mace look good?
Mace looks so good. Mason won it.
Yeah.
Like, Eli Hanneman, by the way,
it's a great surfer,
is the next coming of John Florence almost.
You think so?
Maybe the next coming of Kai Lenny.
Yeah.
The fact that we even bestow that on him now is going to make it, now it won't be.
Sure.
Because I feel like if you have that much attention and coddling, it's going to thwart your own best interests.
I think, though, that doesn't Eli Hanneman have a very involved father already? So
I don't know.
I think he has a very involved father from what I've heard.
Okay.
So maybe he already has all the crazy already baked in.
Maybe. No. Involved in a good way or a bad way?
I just think very involved.
Okay.
Like, extremely involved.
Well, he could protect against that. Because I think, sure, like, Carissa Moore's dad was always very involved, and he did a great job of keeping her normal, you know?
I mean, you think Carissa Moore's normal?
Yeah.
Really?
She feels like the most earnestly normal.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
Oh.
You don't think so?
Hell no.
What do you read out of Carissa?
I mean, what kind of person takes a year off tour for no reason? Right?
No, for a good reason.
What's a good reason?
She's recently married. Maybe she wants to settle into married life. She's got the Olympics she's going to do. So maybe she wants to focus on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to help you train for the Olympics, not surfing.
I think having a balanced life is a good thing.
No, I disagree. I think that, so, I mean, speaking of, let's go back to our mental health.
Okay.
Let's go back to being therapists. I think Carissa Moore is a lot more complicated than comes across. I think she is putting off the sunny vibes, good vibes, all this kind of whatnot. But I think, not that she's tortured, I don't know what's below the surface, but it's definitely, we're not seeing all there is when it comes to Carissa Moore.
I see nothing but aloha.
Really?
I see more aloha.
The aloha spirit. You dig and you see aloha, and then you dig some more and see more aloha.
That's it.
Okay.
I think she's completely,
you're off,
actualized.
You put that in your pipe and smoke it. A year off. And in your prime. You don't get those prime years back, David Lee Scales.
I think she's going to show up even more prime than this prime.
I think she's done forever, to be honest. I think you take a year off. Look at Kelly Slater. Never won again after taking a couple years off.
Yeah, he did. What are you talking about?
But I think
thanks, Chris, for proving my point.
I think Carissa Moore, truly, competition's heating up underneath her. That sounded bad. The competition that's heating up, coming up, like Brissa Hennessy, there's some real talents coming up. I don't know how you take a year off and come back refreshed and ready to go.
I think she's smart to do it, and I think that she's wise to recognize that her life isn't all about the world tour.
It's great. It doesn't have to be all about the world tour when those prime years are done. You only have so many of those prime years. How many prime years does a surfer have, David Lee?
On average, 8.
8. So she's taking 1/8 of her prime years, pitching it in the trash. You got to think the year after that is also a find your footing again year. So that's 2/8. What's 2/8? That's 1/4. She is taking 1/4 of her prime years and throwing them away. That's a lot. That's 25%.
That's not what she's doing. The reason why the prime years are only 8 is because you're under the pressure cooker the whole time. She is, in the middle of that 8 years, taking off to reinvest to elongate her career to a 12.
I can't wait until we can revisit this very topic in 5 years when Carissa is homeless in downtown San Diego.
Waikiki would be a logical fit.
She can't even be able to get there. Prime years burned. Prime years burned.
I'm looking forward to that discussion.
Yeah. Carissa, blowing it.
In regard to mental health, I literally think that this quote came from the Beach Grit comment section, and it stuck with me as a really profound one. It was, therapists don't make a living off of sociopaths, or therapists don't treat sociopaths. They treat their victims.
Mm. Ooh. How many people have you sent into therapy?
Exactly.
That's a good question. I think I've sent.
Like, I ask you, do you do therapy? You're like, nope, never did, never been. It's like, well.
I think I've sent probably a good handful of people into therapy. Do you think Eric Logan does therapy?
I think he does, yeah.
Do you think
he comes from the Oprah background? That is so therapy world.
Do you think Beach Grit, this show, anything like that has ever come up in therapy? Do you think he's ever gone in and hung his head and said, yeah, it was a rough day? And the therapist said, what happened? Well, I mean, you wouldn't, this website, just forget about it. Do you think that's ever happened?
No.
Eric?
I don't.
I'm going to ask Eric directly. I'm going to ask Dave Prodan to ask Eric Logan.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked about Beach Grit in therapy?
Jeez, I hope not. That would make me feel real bad.
Really? Giving him something to talk about in therapy, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to commercial break. We will come back with Barrel or Not to close out the show.
Perfect.
All right. When you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role, and there's no faster or effective way than through LinkedIn Jobs. Your time and capital are precious, and there is a powerful resource that can help you focus on what you're good at and integrate people into your team seamlessly to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs has created the tools to find the right professionals for your team efficiently and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. Everyone is already on LinkedIn with their resumes and references, and now LinkedIn has designed a hiring platform to connect you with candidates specifically qualified for the job that you post about. More than a billion professionals meticulously organized to connect people by skill set to help us all advance our position. 2.5 million businesses already use LinkedIn for hiring, and 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. It's that fast, easy to use, and effective. LinkedIn Jobs can help you write job descriptions, filter the right person to you, and give you the tools to help you interview them like a pro. LinkedInJobs.com/surf is where you go to post your job for free. Yes, totally free. That's linkedinjobs.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, Jazz, we're back.
Real quick, though, the WSL canceling coronavirus events so babyish. I'm taking my innocent daughter in 2 days, my young 7-year-old, to Europe specifically for the coronavirus.
To inoculate her?
Just
hoping that she gets it and then she'll
just to, I mean, how many immunity how built many up? Times? How many times? I'm going to do a story about this that's going to be good. How many times can you go stand in front of the Mona Lisa and have not one person around you?
Never.
Exactly. So this is like the best wave in the world. This is like Pipeline all of a sudden cleared out. And you look around, everybody's scared of Pipeline. Why are they scared of Pipeline? There's like a needlefish there that like might poke you. And so everybody's out of the water. We're not getting that poked with that needlefish. Paddle out to Pipeline. That's why surfers are born pretty brave in this kind of stuff. That's why, especially, I mean, where was the event they canceled?
One was in Indonesia, one was in Japan.
Indonesia and Japan.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't have canceled the Indonesia one because I'm sure the waves were going to be fun.
Yeah.
They should have canceled the Japan one because the waves are probably going to be lousy.
Well, here's your problem with your analogy is that are you actually prepared for pipe? You see that as an opportunity of like, oh, I'm going to seize the day.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go out there and get smashed.
Not only
and
that,
there's nobody in the water to save you.
I'm going to smash my daughter. Even worse. I'm paddling my daughter out to pipe.
You're going to go and look, hey, look at how beautiful this Mona Lisa is with nobody blocking our view. And then you're going to come home with coronavirus.
And just die in front and of her. She'll be okay. Kids are cool.
Infect everybody else too.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm okay with that. At this point, I don't know why they don't let the thing. Why is there any even pretend quarantines or anything at this point? Just let the thing rage across the globe. It's already going to, right? I mean, how many people are in California sick now or infected? Hundreds as of today.
Do you ever wish that you got coronavirus or things like that so you could get like 2 weeks off out of life? Just I want to be quarantined.
Yeah.
That is my ultimate goal in life, is to be quarantined for 2 weeks.
I think the quarantine is in Riverside. I think it's at March Air Force Base, or was. And so would you like to be quarantined in Riverside?
Do I have Wi-Fi and air conditioning?
You probably, yes, on the air conditioning. I'm going to say Wi-Fi is really spotty.
No. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I can get some reading done that I've been planning on doing for 8 years.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be good. Okay. I hear you. Quarantine.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Quarantine. Wi-Fi spotty, I'm okay with that.
Quarantine's not a bad idea.
Okay. That's my lifelong goal, is to get quarantined.
My life?
I have a couple of lifelong goals.
One of mine was to be on a hijacked airplane.
That's a good one.
Yeah, not a hijacked and crashed, and this was my goal pre-9/11, but I'm going to still say it's my goal. You go fly somewhere interesting, right? Go to Libya. You used to go to Tripoli, right? And you sit there on the tarmac. It's exciting, stress, people on the plane talking, drinking out the little liquor bottles on the plane. Eventually, you get flown somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have this fun story about your hijacking.
Would you become a hero in that scenario, or you just want to be a part of this?
Well, now you have to, right? Because you don't know, it's 50-50 or even probably greater odds that you're going to get flown into a damn building.
Right.
So you have to become a hero now.
Okay. But just to live through the scenario.
To live through the scenario. But
that's a good one.
In times past, you could just sit back and relax. It's like going to quarantine. Like, you no longer have any say what's going to go on. It's going to be something vaguely amusing. Worst case scenario, you have stories for days.
Can I co-opt that
as
part of my life? My bucket list
yep.
is to be on a hijacked airplane.
Yeah.
So on my bucket list, be quarantined.
Yep.
Hijacked airplane now. A briefcase handcuffed to my wrist.
Okay.
That's one.
Yep.
So just because every film that I saw from the 80s and 90s, that was a thing. And then I also want to experience a proper haunting.
Oh, like a real ghost.
Real ghost haunting.
Like where you really see it.
Unquestionable haunting.
That ghost comes in and says, boo.
Wake up in the morning to something, or wake up in the middle of the night to something flying across the room.
Yeah.
And then, like, get my bearings straight, and then watch a chair get moved, and then a voice, like an actual haunting.
Would you, if your actual haunting occurred, would you talk about it widely the next day?
Yes.
You would say, I really saw this.
Yeah.
And you know that people would look at you like, you were sleepy, or did you take any medication before you went to bed, et cetera, et cetera. And you would just say, nope. Would it then, your haunting, would it open the doors for you to believe other, like, would you believe in Sasquatches, Loch Ness Monster? Like,
you'd have to.
Would the dominoes just fall?
You'd have to.
Chemtrails?
You'd have to open up all possibilities at that point.
Okay.
Because life is not what we think it is.
I mean, that's the truth.
Yep.
Ain't that the truth?
Yep.
So all you need is a haunting.
I'll openly discuss it on the podcast. When it happens, I will come in and I'll record a special episode.
Okay.
Just to recount the haunting.
Great.
I'm hoping that at that point in my life, I have like a ring thing or in my home, a nest.
Oh.
Camera
that to catches.
Capture. Maybe Alexa will capture the haunting.
I thought you were saying I want a ring thing like the movie The Ring. That movie Ooh, scared me deeply.
Gosh, that was horrifying.
Yeah, the Japanese version.
Ooh. Yeah. All right, so shall we do Barrel or Not?
We sure should.
This is a coronavirus-themed edition.
I'm excited, since I'm getting ready for the coronavirus apocalypse.
Partially coronavirus. Barrel or Not, using hand sanitizer.
I'm going to say Nah, except for during this time. I think I'm completely not, except for coronavirus time, squirting some on an airplane, like on your desk or whatever, on your desk, on your tray table. I think that is a valuable thing to do. And probably in general, I was thinking about it, especially those, I can't remember which Instagram account it is. I think it's Passenger Shaming, where they have a bunch of, it's just people on airlines behaving badly. And so much of it is dirty, dirty feet on tray tables. Right.
Totally.
So I'm going to say not on hand sanitizer unless you are scrubbing off your airplane tray table.
I've never purchased hand sanitizer in my life, and I'm going to continue that trend for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to be around hand sanitizer.
No, and I think it's actually makes you more susceptible, I feel, to
hand
diseases.
Hand sanitizer does.
Yeah, because you're just killing.
Agreed.
You're like killing off your body's natural. Your body has a natural way to fight this stuff.
Totally.
Cavemen, prehistoric bodybuilders didn't have hand sanitizer.
Exactly.
They didn't die young. Exactly. So, yeah.
And by the way, there's a lot of coronaviruses, and like the common colds that you get are a couple of different strains of coronavirus.
Four of them, I do believe.
Yeah, so we have bested coronavirus already in the past. We're going to best this one too. And it's not by hand sanitizing.
Do you think, though, this one was made in a Chinese factory? I mean, a Chinese laboratory. Do you think that the Chinese, I mean, I guess if they're making nefarious diseases, then for sure they accounted for hand sanitizer.
Look, everything, most things that come out of a Chinese factory are faulty and poorly made. So is this coronavirus.
That's a great point.
If you said it came out of a laboratory in Germany, I'd be like, holy crap, I'm going to quarantine myself.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving the house.
That is a great point.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to steal that one. I mean, I'll credit you, but that's right. I'm going to start pushing that line harder. Like, I wish that I could get on to Talk News just so I could deliver that line.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
This was a Chinese factory version of a coronavirus.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. So they copied us. They took our IP and made a crappier version. That's what they did.
It's like a Huawei phone.
Yeah.
Look at that thing.
Exactly.
Nobody wants it.
Exactly.
You have it. You're bummed. But not, right. bummed, not bummed for the reason you're supposed to be bummed.
So barrel or nah? Hand sanitizer?
No.
Nah. Okay, good. Me too. Wearing pajamas in public.
Total barrel.
Really?
For women especially. I think it's a good look. I mean, I ain't talking about real pajamas. I'm talking
real pajamas.
Oh.
I'm not talking Lululemon's $100 version of...
Okay, you're not talking like a silk kimono set that is pajama-like, but is meant to be worn outside. You're talking about...
I'm talking about sleepwear. From Target with like a cartoon print. You go into Seaside Market this afternoon, and there's a girl with her hair in a bun wearing cotton, you know, cinch at waist kind of from Target, and she's got filthy slippers on that she wore out of the
house. No. I'm going to put, though, in the same exact camp as that. The same exact is your damn yoga pants. Like, at this point, you're wearing activity-specific clothing to not do that activity, right?
Yep.
So, pajamas out, you're wearing your sleep clothing to be out. Your yoga pants or workout gear, which, of course, I know this is just a boring even thing to talk about. It's become so ubiquitous in our culture. But I'm going to say it's the same. I feel the same about a woman in full yoga gear as I do about somebody in pajamas.
Okay. I am so not.
Did you see how cool my mailman is?
He is super duper cool.
He wears like those white shades and looks totally awesome and just kind of meanders around. I think he knows that my mailman just delivered something. And I think he knows that he really doesn't have to work, that Amazon and UPS and FedEx and everybody else is like hustling, killing themselves to get stuff done.
Yeah.
And he knows if somebody sent it via U.S. Postal Service, they don't care when it gets there.
No.
Like.
That was a proper mosey.
Yeah, he moseyed up, dropped the package at the door, moseyed back, lifted up his white shades to look at something in the yard, and then moseyed right out.
He was listening to something. He had earbuds, and I'm wondering if he's listening to a podcast. Also, there's no better place in the world to be a postman than Cardiff.
Oh, my goodness.
He's just cruising.
Yeah.
You couldn't be in a hurry if you tried.
No.
I'm going not. I think you dress for the job you want, not the job you have, you know? And leaving the house in pajamas, you are going to feel miserable throughout the day. You're going to have a low-grade depression that you can't snap out of, and you don't know why. It's because you never got going on that day.
We've talked.
Shower, put some clothes on.
It's totally true. Even when you're sick, when you like lounge around all day in your pajamas and go to the store and whatever, or not even, I mean, which men amongst us wear pajamas, but in whatever version, like me right now in my sweatpants, I don't feel good about myself.
Nope.
I have sweatpants on.
Yep.
I have a sweatshirt on.
It's almost midday.
Ooh, it's almost drinking time. It is. 5 more minutes till drinking time.
By the way, it's 10:55 a.m. for anybody wondering. Almost drinking time.
Do you want a drink, David Lee Scales?
No. I got too much to do today. It'll throw me off.
That's one cocktail.
I'll be exhausted by 3:00.
Oh, that's a bummer.
All right, so we're going obvious on pajamas in public. Yeah. Interesting point about the Lululemon yoga pants, though. I would double down on what you're saying in that there's more yoga pants that have been worn outside of yoga than have been worn inside of yoga.
So you're saying now they're just pants.
I'd say 95% of the yoga pants that have ever been sold.
Sure.
Never see the inside of a yoga studio.
So you are saying that somebody needs to develop a yoga pant because the yoga pant, or what is termed the yoga pant, is just a pant. Now somebody should develop a specific pant for yoga.
That can't be worn outside.
Can't be worn outside.
There's something in it that won't allow you. Maybe it's a transparency.
Yep.
If you take it into daylight, they become transparent.
I like it.
You can see through them.
I like it.
Now, interestingly, the board short, on the other hand, generally worn in water.
Yeah.
You know, like 95% of board shorts that have ever been sold have seen water.
Derek Riley is a big board short wearer around, which I used to always think, not related to Derek, but in general, that it wasn't a good look. Derek has made me totally flip and think what a great look it is to wear your board shorts around, because Derek's always basically in the water. So it's, yeah, like it's just, it's nice. It's saving him a step.
Where does he put his keys, phone, and wallet?
I think he holds them. I think he carries them.
That becomes cumbersome.
It does, but it's, you suffer for fashion. It hurts to be pretty.
Yes, I guess so.
Yeah.
Final barrel or nah? Double dipping.
Ice cream?
This is a chip in a dip scenario in a mixed environment, like at a party.
As painful as it is for me to say nah, because it's just straight up gross, but it's also so necessary. Like, I've eaten more dry carrots, celery, those long things, right? Because you do your dip, you get that one bite of dip on the carrot.
On the tip,
and that's it. And now you've got to eat a carrot down to the nub with nothing else on it, with no ranch.
Do you flip it and dip the other end?
With the carrot, you can't.
Well, the carrots, you can.
No, I mean, that's... I don't. I'm saying I wish I could bring myself to. I wish that this was a barrel. I wish that I could stand here and say, because who wants to eat things that go with dip?
Dry?
Are things that go with dip. And who wants to eat them without the dip?
Nobody.
Especially when you like that French onion dip. You get that first taste.
French onion. Oh, yeah. It's like the powder that you mix with sour cream?
Exactly.
Oh, that is a good dip.
It's a delicious dip. And then you get that bite and you just... Everything in you wants to double dip and you just can't.
What's the best chip with that dip?
The wavy Lays.
Ruffles.
Or Ruffles, yeah.
Salty potato
exactly,
ruffled.
Exactly.
That is because
with ridges.
The ridges pick up more dip. Yeah, no question. Now, in that scenario, do you turn the chip?
No.
Man,
you can't.
I'm a purist.
You're
a conservative chip dipper.
I am. When you see somebody double dip, what do you think? Do you then go dip again?
I would never associate with those people. Yep. I wouldn't even find myself at a party with a double dipper. But I do see people flip the chip and dip the other end, and then I have to call them out like, hey, did you double dip? And then they
say,
I flipped the chip. But I'm still concerned because their mouth was on that chip.
It is really close. It is real, like flipping the chip is very close. And then they're getting dirty hands too.
Right. So their hand was on the part that's now in the dip.
I mean, same diff. Flipping is same diff as double dipping.
Okay, what if it's a triangle chip, like a corn chip, and they're dipping one of the triangles that didn't touch their hand?
That,
out of their mouth. They get a pass?
If we can assume that somebody, which maybe there's a marker for this, a giant triangle, right? A bigger triangle. The triangle as such now is small enough where I would still think it was questionable. But if you did a wider triangle, mm-hmm. like with a bigger base,
mm-hmm.
I think there's something there.
Okay. You want to know my strategy?
Yeah.
How to avoid a lot of these faux pas? Break the chip in half. If I have the vessel is too large to fit in my mouth or like to get enough dip on it entirely.
Like carrot or celery?
A carrot or celery. That you could actually break into a quarter.
Yeah.
So break it in half, break each half in half again, and now you've got dippable pieces.
That's a good play.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that one on.
But again, your hand touched all of it. Nobody calls you out on the hand touch.
No, nobody cares about the hand touch. It's the lip touch.
Yeah.
Mouth touch.
Yeah.
But should it matter? Back to coronavirus. Wouldn't we all be stronger, have healthier immune systems if we were all double dipping?
Look, I'm going to intentionally get coronavirus so that I can execute my quarantine life goal, my bucket list item, And the best possible way to get coronavirus is through that French onion dip.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
I mean, we should have a party with people we don't know with a big vat of delicious French onion dip.
Put out a post, maybe on Facebook, inquiring who's been to China recently.
Yep.
And whoever has been to China party gets the party house. Invite.
Party. French onion dip.
French onion dip party. We want to hear about China. Any surfers who go to compete in the Indonesia contest.
Come over. Free French onion dip. Yeah. By that time, though, it'll be everyone in the world will have coronavirus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be, I mean, the quarantine, I think.
It's going to spread that quick.
I think the quarantine, the day to hit quarantine was like last week. I think now it's like, well, what are you going to do? Everybody's got it. Hundreds falling dead.
When we were with Devin and I think he brought up that maybe it was started by somebody eating a bat.
Yeah.
And we talked about eating bats for a minute. Somebody messaged me afterwards and was like, there's a classic scene in Three Amigos. They're sitting around the campfire eating bats.
Oh, I remember that. I remember now that you say it, but I totally forgot.
I was so sad that my brain didn't remember it in the moment because that is a great scene.
It is a oh, man. Thank you, people.
Yeah. The internet's great. Our listenership is great. The other thing that people brought up, since we're doing such a long deep dive on therapy, we talked about therapy dogs in Barrel or Not last week.
Yep.
Somebody reminded me therapy dogs can sense a seizure before it happens.
Ooh.
People who have like epilepsy or whatever, like will have a therapy dog and the therapy dog starts barking in advance so that the person knows to like stop driving the car or to sit down.
Fantastic though. That dog is doing, so if you have epilepsy and have grand mal seizures, get your therapy dog.
Totally.
I'm just saying about emotional support.
Correct.
But I did get hit up by somebody also on Instagram, I do believe, who had a very tear-jerking story about a three-legged dog and something about it being a therapy dog.
But were they shaming you for something you said?
I think they were like, "It's come on, buddy. Get off your high dog here. Just accept it.
Get off that Great Dane."
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay to have a therapy dog.
Well, this is a communal conversation. This is what's great about the podcast and the internet at large, is we throw out stupid ideas and then we get reprimanded and we learn. We become wiser.
I change my mind 15 times per show.
Totally. Capricious.
It's gross.
Capricious chess. Well, this has been a great show. Glad to be in your humble abode once again around the zinc. Well,
thanks for coming all the way down.
Thrilled to. Where can people find you? What do they need to know?
Beachgrit.com mostly. And if you want to hit me in the DMs to make me ashamed of something, but really just don't. I mean, you can hit me in the DM all you want, but
it's hard to keep up.
I read them half as much. You can email me at chaz@beachgrit.com.
Perfect. And for anybody feeling the tug of depression or marital unrest, betterhelp.com/surf and use the promo code surf when you check out and you can get 10% off therapy.
I'm going to get some therapy this week.
Awesome.
Oh, we have this week off since I'm coronavirus world tour
and then
dancing through the apocalypse.
So we'll be back in 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks.
Should be the 20th, I think.
Fantastic.
All right, Chaz, until then,
get barrel.